Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Nomicon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushie.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita, or six.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink. You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
And this is a late night edition of the podcast.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It is after midnight when we're recording this. We were sitting down, watched this movie for the pod. The movie's Prince of Darkness, by the way, from 1987, the John Carpenter film.
Totally planning on talking about it tomorrow.
We were like, okay, we're going to get up early, bright and bushy-tailed, and we are going to sit down and record this. And then we tried watching this movie.
I
was like, John, we got to record right away.
We
got
to
record.
This is a emergency broadcast.
I will not commit this film to memory.
I know for certain that as soon as I go to sleep, it's all gone. And there are questions I have that are just not going to exist tomorrow.
Yeah,
in my brain.
I already don't know what happened. If you give
We were 5 minutes into this movie. I didn't know what was going on.
If you give me time and distance, it's just going to get worse.
So, okay, literally the beginning of this movie
is 40 minutes of credits.
There's that. This movie starts forever. We were halfway through the movie and I was like, are we still in the title credits? Like, it's possible, right? Okay, the beginning of the movie, Victor Wong... he's a theoretical physicist, and he's talking with Donald Pleasance, who's a priest.
You're adding a lot of context here.
I am.
More context than I have, who just sat down and watched the movie.
Okay, but there's 15 minutes of them talking, and I'm just not grabbing onto it, right? Like,
no,
it's just,
not picking it up at all.
No, it's like oil hitting a piece of cellophane. I don't know. Like, it's just not sticking. It's late. I'm tired.
Is that a real analogy?
I was just trying to say it was slippery. The point is, I was really cheekily, or just sneakily, was like, I'm just going to take a quick look at the Wikipedia, see what the first paragraph says.
Get caught up to speed.
Yeah. I'm 5 minutes into this movie. I'm already lost. Surely Wikipedia is going to solve it. I open it, take a look. Oh, centuries ago in the Middle East, the Brotherhood of Sleep.
What?
A secret order of the Catholic Church. I'm like, okay, I'm going to put my phone down and just try and watch this movie.
What? Wow.
Also, I would like to point out Donald Pleasant's character's name in this movie, Father Loomis.
Is it?
It is.
Aww.
Which I did not hear once in the movie.
That's great. I don't know a single character's name other than Susan.
They say Susan's name so much.
Nobody knows who she is. They're like, who the fuck is Susan?
This entire movie,
she
people are walking
around. She is a radiologist, guys. That is the only person here whose job I know.
I have heard so many people tell me, they're like, you know, this is like the black sheep in John Carpenter's filmography, but like, it's got a special place in my heart, and I have always wanted to watch.
Okay, let's just dial it all back. Let's just take us back to before watching this movie.
Oh, what a lovely time
things,
that was. No, I'm kidding. This movie wasn't that bad.
Things you've heard, things you presumed.
Yeah.
I thought this was a vampire movie.
Yeah, well, we started and you said, isn't this called John Carpenter's Vampires? And the answer is no. That's a different movie.
I didn't realize. I thought
we planned this podcast and picked every movie that we'd be talking about because it's a secret theme.
I thought he had another vampire movie. So kill me. I honestly thought this was John Carpenter's Alice Cooper as a Vampire movie.
Okay, well, I mean, Prince of Darkness, not a bad name for a vampire
right?
movie.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I did. All I knew really was that this was, you know, I don't know. I've edited some articles on the website before about this movie, and I'm like, this actually looks pretty okay.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that there was this giant container of, like, green liquid and that it was something to do with the devil, but also there was a computer element and people talk
about
it.
You already know more than I do.
Yeah.
And I watched it.
I don't think the computers have anything to do with it.
Oh, we will talk about the computer.
But yeah, I had always heard about it as part of John Carpenter's unofficial
Apocalypse trilogy. That's all I knew about it. And I
frankly,
was like, I love apocalypses.
Yeah. I think this fits, but like, I don't know if In the Mouth of Madness is necessarily an apocalypse movie.
Yeah. So this movie is essentially The Thing in a biblical pretext.
Sure. I mean, when you say it like that, I want to watch it again.
No, premise-wise, once you chip away at what this movie is, it's kind of cool. The premise is interesting. I always love the adding of science to the paranormal, even if it's like a pseudoscience, faux science, cinema science. And this is that.
Okay.
Because so we have these college students who are definitely doing something at school.
These are 50-year-old college
they
students.
They are quite old.
The lead of this movie, I thought, was an undercover cop. He's got undercover cop mustache.
I thought
halfway through he was going to take a badge at me like, you're all under arrest.
I said he was the dean.
Like he's undercover bossing this class.
Yes,
like,
exactly. He's like,
I don't know if
this
theoretical.
This is an approved curriculum.
Yeah, this theoretical physics. This is going off the budget next
year.
Yeah,
okay. So their professor, he's like, oh, I have this extra special credit thing we're gonna do. We're all gonna go move into this abandoned church.
I'm not gonna tell you what
and
we're doing.
We're not gonna know what we're doing until we're there. But the thing is once they get there, there's never this kind of like, you know, scene where we talk about who all these people are and what they do. And like,
we do know they have a radiologist.
What we're doing at this computer and what this computer does and what
no.
We know there's like a glowing transfixing Gatorade in the basement.
Okay.
And all of these computers and worry jigamabobs pop up almost overnight. It's like we've cut 6 months ahead because
yes.
Everybody is working. Everybody is busy about their jobs. There's somebody translating some book. There's somebody at a computer doing math formulas. There's somebody else with like beakers and stuff next to another
computer. I don't know what the beakers are. Because they also say that they can't get a sample of it, right? Like, oh, it's so sealed. There's not. We don't need to worry about this thing leaking. Meanwhile, it's dripping the entire time.
It is unexplained. Like,
but also every single scene, characters keep bumping into each other and explaining what they've discovered. And we haven't seen any of that. Like, we have the one character walks off by himself and goes, "Oh, something strange is going on here." And then we cut back to two other characters meeting up going like, "Okay, so we've solved this. It appears as though the carbon dating is this. And we learned this from the text." And there's no discovery process. We don't see them learn any of this shit. They just tell us, and it drove me insane. It felt like it could have been a great radio play.
I just wanted to know what everybody's jobs and roles are. And
again, Kim wants the boring shit at the beginning.
But also, I just wanted to know, like, when they found out what they were doing or what they thought they were doing.
No, they all just jumped in and they were totally fine with it.
Yeah, because they still all seem to, even though they're operating machines and doing formulas and doing some kind of computer stuff, they don't really know what they're doing.
Nah.
They know that there's this green entity in the basement, mm-hmm. and they're studying it, but like from afar.
Well, yeah, it's really upsetting because nobody ever talks about anything. I don't even think that there's a moment, like there's a scene that's cut where they're given some sort of explanation, mm-hmm. because most of the movie, the professor and Donald Pleasance are in their own little office, sleepy because it's 3 a.m., sort of theoretically pulling apart what this thing is.
And they're clearly telling us this backstory about how they have to have. I cannot verify this because I did not pick up any of it. They have to have given us, why the fuck is this primordial Satan ooze in a abandoned church in L.A. somewhere?
I feel like this is a good time to revisit Wikipedia.
The Brotherhood!
Basically, yeah. So a secret order in the Catholic Church, they recover a large cylinder of swirling green liquid, kept secret from even the Vatican.
So has that liquid just existed forever? Didn't just, like, pop up?
Okay. So I would like to say that this is like an episode of Art Bell where all the conspiracy kooks are getting together and yes-anding themselves into crazier and crazier ideas, and everybody is taking everything at face value and as fact.
Do you mean the plot, or do you mean...
Yes. The characters in the movie.
Okay.
Because they're extrapolating the most ludicrous ideas.
All of a sudden, they're like, it's time travel. We had some dreams. It's time travel.
Well, it says here that Satan came to Earth as a star that fell from the sky, and that he was here before man, and that Jesus appeared as an extraterrestrial being to warn everyone.
If these were
like,
my
whoa,
students,
whoa.
If these were my students, they would be getting zeros.
But the professor in this movie is just like, bravo.
He is
cracking the code.
Yeah, so I was saying how this is The Thing. This movie is a supernatural version of The Thing.
I think so, yeah.
It is also definitely got its vibes from Haunting of Hill House and The Haunting.
Oh, sure.
With the, you know how it's that same thing, like we're doing a sleep study, but
yes,
we're really doing this. Because the professor acts like he maybe it's just his personality that anytime something happens, he has this like, yes, I already knew that.
Well, he's operating from the principle that,
like, do you think he's sacrificing his students?
It's possible. I mean,
why is no one afraid of the ominous green ooze?
I don't know.
Because as soon as that one lady translates this book that's basically like, the Prince of Darkness will come and death to all.
And they look at each other like, oh my God, we just discovered something horrifying. Like, bitch, these are just words.
But they're like, oh, the Prince of Darkness is downstairs, y'all. And they fully believe it.
Yeah.
But nobody is, we're not doing buddy system going down there. There's nothing. There's no safety protocol. We're not signing in and signing out. People are dying and disappearing outside. The guy that died at the beginning, the guy that Alice Cooper stabbed with like a machete.
Okay, the very first weapon of this movie for the very first kill.
I thought it was a bike.
Half a bike.
I thought it was a bike gun.
I know, you were like, was he gonna shoot him with that thing? I'm like, I think it's just a bike that's missing its back tire.
It was like a bike musket.
Yeah, and so why is he allowed to leave? Because everybody else is like, no, we're bringing cots in. We're here. No one's allowed to sleep. Like, what's the ticking clock here?
I don't know.
I think maybe it's because, so the priest has
There was
died.
A moon in the sky at some point. They did there's look a
lot
at
of, There's a lot of people looking around ominously going like, the vibe here is wrong. There's a lot of ants. The homeless are milling about. Like, can't you just feel that something's wrong? There was a genuine moment in this movie where Dr. Loomis, the priest, Father Loomis, because he's gotten a promotion, I guess, since he's gone to a completely different field since we last saw him, is just like, the devil is upon us. Or something like that. I'm like, how does he know this? And then a beat later, he goes, because I can feel it. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. I guess that explains everything.
Stamp it up, y'all.
But I guess the idea is that the priest has died. Father Loomis has been called in.
This other priest. We never saw this priest, though, right?
At the very beginning of the movie, we see the priest die. He's on his deathbed. Oh. He has his, like death rattle or whatever.
I don't remember
and
that.
He's holding this tiny little chest. And inside
the chest.
See, this is why we had to do the podcast tonight. Kim's actively forgetting the movie.
Oh, my God, the chest.
It has this teeny little key or this giant key, whatever. Those are two opposite things. I'm forgetting this movie. And then, Father Loomis finds the door that this key opens, which brings him to a sort of chamber in the basement of this abandoned church.
The vibes down there are super cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
great.
Very gothic. There's a lot of candelabras and shit.
Secret cult shit.
Yeah. It feels like we're scientists here. We're Satanists, and we're waiting for the revival of the goo.
Yeah. That's the unofficial name of the church.
The revival of the goo of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
So the thing about this goo is that it's just churning. And they're like, ooh, it's churning to something. It's churning to something. And then poor Susan, our radiologist Susan, is down there by herself.
Yeah.
And the goo is dripping in reverse.
Up to the ceiling.
Wes Craven spinning room style ceiling.
Yeah.
And it looks super fun. It's really cool. And then it just shoots at her the flower on a clown's jacket.
Yeah. I wanted to say that this entire movie is a whole bunch of people getting hawked to it by the devil.
I was going to say, it was like, is this low-key like the demon seed kind of thing? Like, is that?
I think so.
Because they're talking about like, oh, it's the Father Satan in his liquid form. And it was just like, ew.
And so they also talk about how,
because they're transferring it mouth to mouth in gross liquidy ways.
Yeah, they're kind of talking about the Trinity as well.
At least the thing does it discreetly. We don't know who he has transferred most of the time. We don't have to see every single, upchuck into somebody else's mouth.
No, we've eschewed all mystery when it comes to the Prince of Darkness. And, there's a bunch of talk about the Holy Trinity and about how everything...
Is there?
These are those weird conversations between the professor and the priest, where they're sort of just yes-anding themselves.
Yes,
into figuring out
I had
the backstory.
An impossible time just listening to anything they
said.
It's
tough because there's no logic behind any of it. It's just these characters telling you stuff, and you're just supposed to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying that it's essentially the idea between matter and antimatter, and how there are mirror versions of everything, and there is a mirror. Man,
they were talking about mirrors, because when mirrors came into play, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they were talking about mirror world stuff and how if there is a god, there is an anti-god, and maybe that's what we're dealing with. And so that's also why we get into the idea of there being a father of the devil and the devil, but never...
Oh, because... Okay, so if there's a holy trinity, there's a not nice trilogy.
Yes, exactly.
Trinity.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. And so, there is some weird mirror work where we're piercing through the veil and going into other realms by the end of the movie, which, frankly, best stuff in the
movie. Fun. Confusing.
Very.
For instance, we haven't talked about the impregnating bit. So we're getting these, say the Satan goo downstairs is making pawns on the chessboard by spitting into people's mouths with his goo.
Yeah.
And so we have about four people infected at this point, including Susan,
mm-hmm.
the only name I know. And at some point, there's another girl there whose job I don't know what it is, but she hit her arm at some point. And she's been getting this
bruise. Oh my god!
And she's so and then tired.
She's like possessed by the bruise.
So then So she gets this bruise, and then it grows into like a symbol thing. But
it grows into the Blue Oyster Cult symbol. This drove me fucking insane.
She goes full don't fear the Reaper, and then she's like, guys, I'm tired. I'm gonna have a nap. So she goes to have a nap, and then the possessed girls. There's two possessed girls at this point. Just like go on guard of her.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she's like impregnated by the goo
because
she's the chosen one.
Yeah.
And then she gets impregnated by the goo. She gets this like belly that grows and then
it deflates.
She absorbs the belly
and then she starts to melt.
And then she is I don't know what she is, but she's covered in like blood and like gross burn gore almost.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
She's looking like Linnea Quigley in Night of the Demon.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing.
especially the moment when she looks at the compact as it falls on the ground, like her yes. makeup compact, and she sees a mirror and she starts like screaming into it. Well, and then she puts her fingers in it and you're like,
this is so cool. And then we go into like this other realm. Yeah.
I love this, but why?
It's because we are at that fine line where the dividing point between the mirror reality and the real reality are sort of
okay. But what
in
the fuck
themselves.
Is she? Is she now the son of the devil? Why couldn't this son of the devil just come out of her body?
I mean, the more I'm talking about it, the more I'm imagining that she is sort of like the gateway. Or she's become that gateway, but like, then why does she have to go through the mirror for that to happen? I don't know. I don't have answers for you. I'm very sorry. In a movie where they literally try and tell
is
you everything that's going on.
Is she supposed to be like reverse
Mary? Maybe.
But then where is the baby un-Jesus?
She gives birth to the unholy spirit.
And she absorbed it.
Question mark.
Kind of.
I guess. That's the mirror version of it. It doesn't birth out, it births in.
Okay, so she
the
gets...
devil's calling from inside the house.
So she realizes that she can't pull Satan out through a compact mirror, not big enough.
No.
So she finds a big mirror in Dr. Loomis's priest Loomis's room.
Uh-huh.
And
no, but it's not his room though, is
it? It's the room he's been hiding in.
It's just
for
a room he's
minutes.
Been hiding in. I think it's like a furnace room. This drove me crazy too, because like, okay, fine. You gotta imagine Donald Pleasance, a celebrated actor, is working with John Carpenter for the first time. Reportedly because his daughter liked his music. That's the real reason he took the gig.
Are we going back
Halloween.
To like 78?
Yeah, we're going back to 78. And most of that movie, so he's got plenty of dialogue. He screams real mad at some people and he shakes his fist.
He's
and
got mad trench coat energy.
Yeah, and then he spends the rest of the movie hiding behind a hedge. Like, hiding behind some bushes, just, like, waiting for Michael. Ooh, where's he gonna be? What's going on? We even cut back to him a bunch where he's just like, huh? And, you know, like, he's just looking around. They do the
he
exact same.
He gets to the cemetery.
They do, yeah, but that's so, I'm talking, like, once the sun goes down, he's at that hedge, and that's it. And in this movie, they make him do the same thing. He has some important, impassioned conversations with people, and then halfway through the movie, he just hides off into a little furnace room.
He earned his check. So she finds this big mirror in whatever room that Loomis is in. It's weird that I can say Loomis and it's actually accurate to
the
film.
Yeah.
Because I would have been saying that anyways.
Of course.
She starts putting her hand in this mirror world and she gets
fuck
a handshake from the devil and she starts pulling him out. And the hand that comes out of the mirror is like a giant red dinosaur glove, full out like Burgundy Bowser.
Yeah.
Like tiny little black claws. It was great.
Yeah. But they break them. Like, sorry.
Catherine, who we haven't talked about at all.
We haven't talked about Catherine
at all. Who's the female lead of the movie, but just does math. Yeah. Does math and sleeps with the lead guy, but won't date him.
there's no reason for them to be together. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
No.
It doesn't matter at all.
No, it doesn't. He's got a dandy fine mustache, though. And honestly, the belt work in this movie, everybody's belt game is
everybody's
real
got their shirts tucked They're, in. We're all
high,
slobs these days, guys. None of us tuck our shirts in.
Like jeans right up at the waist.
Yep.
Shirts tucked in. Everyone has a belt on.
All Levi's.
It is a Wild West conference.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm from Yale. And she's like, fuck off. You're from 21 Jump Street. I don't believe this.
Dean.
I'm putting you all on double secret probation.
But yeah, she jumps in the mirror world and saves the day.
Yeah, and then Dr. priest Loomis, maybe he's got a doctorate. Loomis throws the axe at the mirror. Mirror shatters.
Honestly, quick thinking on his part.
I think so too. And then,
but he definitely made no attempt at saving that woman. He was like, "Fuck her."
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, we gotta break a few eggs to make an omelet," you know. And then, yeah,
she sacrificed herself for us all. Like, really? I think she was not deep enough in there that we couldn't have put a hand in and grabbed her.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay, so one of the other things we also have to sort of like paint in here is that throughout the movie, people are having the same dream.
Oh my God.
But the dream that they're having.
These people should not be writing papers because they jump to motherfucking conclusions.
Well, they're also all sleep deprived. This all takes place over like less than 12 hours, or I guess 24 hours.
Does it? I thought they'd been there for like 8 months.
No, the end of the movie, the sun's coming back up for the first time.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's
100%. It's all one night.
No.
You can't tell me that they've been looking for Susan for 6 weeks.
No, they have. They have. By the time we get to them with their computer set up, I already believe they've been there for 6 months.
It feels like it. I mean, it's a long
because they
movie.
Aren't telling us what everyone's doing. Everybody is just like status quo already. And I'm like, you guys don't even know why he brought you here. Tell me.
My favorite part about these dreams, these recurring dreams that everybody's having, is that people wake up because they've fallen asleep in the middle of conversations with other characters.
There's a moment where the professor wakes up from his dream and Donald Pleasance is just sitting there and he's like, "What did you dream about?"
He's like, "I've been having the same dream." Like, how do you know?
That's so creepy.
Because you've just been listening to me scream in my sleep, I guess.
Like, why are you sitting over me?
The dream is interesting, and I
love the dream.
The dream's awesome, right?
I love the dream.
Scott Derrickson definitely loves the dream because this is everything that he's doing.
Oh, absolutely.
With that VHS segment,
yeah,
and
with
and
that
the black
like
phone.
That radio gargled audio.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's video cam recorder, right? Because we are seeing a little bit more of this dream every time, and it sounds like we're hearing voiceover from the Outer Limits. Like, it sounds like the opening of the 90s Outer Limits, and then it's a video cam recorder of the church, and we're sort of panning around, and like there's a silhouette of a person in the doorway of the church,
and it's kind of super scary because
it
you're like, oh my God,
awesome.
Did the devil get birth? Is it the devil exiting the church,
right?
And it's really scary, and then they all of a sudden, like, one, two, skip a few, we're getting transmissions from the future.
Okay, so all of a sudden they start talking about tachyons and they're just like, yeah, okay, yeah, you can influence a particle over here and then it has the exact same.
And if one were to know where exactly the Earth is in relation to space at a certain time, they could send it back. And then he has like a magic trick card and he's like, "Puh," and we're supposed to understand.
Yeah, so they don't do a great job of explaining tachyons, and I also
we're
not
too deep for tachyons. We're too far in. I do not have the bandwidth for tachyons.
Like, John, it's 1 a.m. Do not bring this up.
I'm in the movie. I was like, how dare you? I'm still coming to terms with the goo.
Okay, so at the very end of the movie, we are in, what's his name? Bill? What's his fucking name?
Which one?
Mr. Mustache is having a
Brian.
Dream. Brian Mustache is having a dream. It's after the events of the movie. Some of us have survived the church. A lot of us have been turned into bugs and died.
There were a lot of bugs.
Yeah. So many bug locusts. Right? Everybody's eating apples. Like, there is just like half-handed
attempts
to make
biblical. No, but the irony is
biblical.
Lost on everyone.
And then, so anyway, he has a dream at his house. And he wakes up, oh my God, because he finally sees the rest of the dream. And somewhere in the dream we learn somebody says that it's 1999 and that we see the silhouette in the doorway of the church and it's walking toward us. And you can hear like a small group of people gasping and they're freaking out a little bit. And it's motherfucking Catherine. She is in the future now. And like what we're seeing in the past are those sort of like, it's the tachyons that are sending the transmission back. And according to Wikipedia, she's possessed.
I honestly thought that was just like a jump scare. Or like that the video footage wasn't actually the future. It was
I think it's
the mirror world, and now Catherine's down there.
So that's possible too. But I mean, like a lot of the professor talk about like reality and real reality is dealing with like quantum physics and stuff. Like they're sort of blending the idea of like mirror worlds, alternate realities, and just not having a clear understanding of the guiding principles and mathematics that determine the universe.
But you can't drop somebody coming out in 1999. Like, where? How? How is she? What?
Because that's when the Antichrist is coming back, baby.
But the
year
goo's
2000.
Gone. The goo's gone. They stopped it. They locked her in the mirror.
We don't need the goo no more. We've got Catherine.
What?
Fee-fi-fo-fum. Catherine's coming.
Oh, man. When they presented this dream thing, you know, I wasn't aboard when they were doing all of this, like, oh, it's from the future, da da da. But there was a moment when everything was going crazy, and I still didn't understand what was happening.
No.
I didn't understand
why
Reverse Mary had become the spawn of Satan, but was also, like, very burned and wet, and she was doing some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And there were other possessed people who were like spitting water into people's mouths.
You hated it.
I did not like it.
It grossed you
out.
I
did not vibe with it. there were weird sexual undertones to it that I did not appreciate.
Yeah, no, it was bad. Okay, I mean, there was also that dude who cut his own throat open with that just like random splinter of wood.
Really not sharp piece of wood.
He was great.
He was fantastic.
He was unlike any of the other possessed people.
His own movie.
Yeah.
And he was like, everybody else was possessed and they were super stoic and robot-like,
and
he was
staring.
Like, I'm just gonna giggle entirely the entire time.
It's like he's figured out everything before everybody else has, and he's just laughing, waiting.
He's just having his best day.
Yeah, because he's the one, he's just staring into the mirror laughing. Like, he knows that this mirror is a portal or that something's gonna come through it or whatever.
I was getting to a point and I've forgotten. Oh yeah, so the time travel video.
Okay.
Yes, and how I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. So like, I was like, ugh, time travel. But then I was like, maybe we can use this to like tidy everything up in the finale.
Uh-huh.
And so Catherine, who sees, it's Kelly is the possessed woman.
Yeah,
the reverse Mary, we've determined.
Bizarre.
So
Mary.
She's doing her crazy shit at the mirror. And Catherine is like, holy shit, what the fuck's happening? And Catherine has been the one that has been doing all of these math equations
mm-hmm.
the entire movie. I thought she was just going to like skip past the action, go to her computer and do the time travel-y thing, and she was going to be the one that made the video, and then we were going to end up back at the beginning of the movie. Like, I thought she was just going to, like, oh, this can't happen.
Oh, sure. I mean, like, that's definitely, that's how most people would end the movie, Kim, but that's not how Mr. Carpenter handles business. So what do you mean by do the math thing?
She was doing some math thing.
It's like, she's just gonna, like, bender it, like, in the big score, just like 1-0, 1-1-1-1.
I mean, this movie has already made some leaps. She was doing some quantum math. I'm sure if anybody in that group could have figured it out, it was her.
Yeah.
And I guess it was her, because she is the one in the video, maybe?
There was so much quantum stuff being thrown around in the beginning of the movie. It was like, why am I even taking this course? Like, well, you gotta understand, it's like a Schrodinger's cat thing. And it's just like, oh, man, like, anytime a movie wants to talk about complicated physics or quantum physics, they're just like, well, you see, with the Schrodinger's cat, the cat itself is in a superposition. And, like, it's either dead nor alive until you look at it. It's like, okay. But, yeah, I didn't really think the math had much to do with anything in the movie.
Well, it turns out it didn't.
Turns out nothing had anything to do with anything.
Mm-mm.
Can you pass me my phone that I accidentally threw?
That's okay. I've been shouting
I know,
with a marker in my hand.
You know, if I didn't know better, I'd say you were accusing me of all the mistakes in this movie. The way that you're talking,
I am threatening
and you're just
you.
Pointing at me.
Where is your phone?
It's somewhere on the floor there.
Where? Ow! It is too late for this.
Okay, here you go.
Fun little fact that I want to go out on. There is a character in this movie who we have not talked about once.
Alice Cooper? Oh, no, we talked about him.
Okay, yeah, hey.
He disappeared after he murdered that guy. It was, like, all completely different homeless people.
No, he's got a couple other, like, appearances, but he doesn't really do a whole lot. Because then at that point...
It's like they only had him for one day.
Yeah, maybe. Because then it's, like, another woman who stabs that guy, cuts off his hand, and then he turns into Bugs, which looked great. Loved that scene.
Oh, he was great. I forgot about his scene when he was, like, shouting ominously at them from the parking lot. And then he just, like, disintegrated into Bugs. That was great.
Okay, so there's an actor
his
in this
warning
movie.
Actually there, I think, is part of the audio you hear in the movie. In the video.
Oh, shit. You think so?
In the video dream.
God, we gotta go watch Prince of Darkness again.
In the video drone?
Okay, so there's a character in this movie who we have not talked about at all yet. And when you look at the group of people, you're like, there's no way this guy belongs here. Like, he's not part of the quantum physics class.
Is this the final girl?
No, this is okay. There's another guy in the movie who we just like happened to notice halfway through.
Had
like,
a great sweater, was in the locked room with them, and it was just like, oh, and we were like, is he going to make it?
But no, unfortunately, he did not make it.
He got thrown out a window.
Yeah, a lot of people got thrown out that window.
It was very convenient, that window.
No, this is a guy who just looks like he's like, hey, I'm here from maintenance. Somebody said you got a leak. Like, he's just like a regular dude. He gets his neck broken by Susan.
He was part of the team.
I know he was part of the team.
I don't know what he did because I don't know what anyone did, but he was part of the team.
No, he's just walking around like they're like, you know, just like stumbling into stuff. He's in the class from the very beginning.
Was he?
Again, no idea. Like, he could also be an undercover cop.
They're all cops.
Anyway, his name is Dirk Blocker. He's an actor. That's the actor's name. He is most famous at this point for being Hitchcock in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like one of the goofball detectives in that show. But Kim, I would like to let you know, and I did not know this until today, that he has a small role in Toby Hooper's Poltergeist. He is the guy at the very beginning who has gone out to get more beer for the football game, and he's riding the bike, and he drops the beers, and they all start spraying everywhere when he's coming back.
Oh, that's great. I got total Poltergeist vibes when we first go to, like, the computer gang working away at their computers in one of the side rooms.
Uh-huh.
It felt very much like the tech guys in Poltergeist who were, like, you know, doing surveillance on the house.
We once watched a chair move across a room. It took 8 hours.
Like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no, it did look a lot like that. Man, I love seeing computers in the late 80s.
I just wish any of the stuff that they were doing had been explained.
Yeah. There is a great movie.
I feel like the prop department just put computers everywhere, and the actors just had to act around them, and they're like, "Oh yes."
Well, it's also
these green lines are very important lines.
1987. Everybody's just like, "Oh man, computers! They're the future. We don't know what they do, but
they're gonna be big.
Can't be trust them." Yeah, I really do think that if somebody turned this into a radio play or like a 6-part
podcast, it would make even less sense.
Maybe, but I think you could do a lot with the sound design. And just because there's so much dialogue and discussion, I think you could do something with that. I mean, there's no reason why this movie can't be remade now. They're remaking everything. There's a fucking Lilo and Stitch remake coming. That doesn't even make any goddamn
sense. It's Disney. They're going to remake every single movie
but
in their arsenal.
That's still like a new movie. And I'm sure John Carpenter would happily take that check.
That's true.
And reuse the Christine score again.
Hey, that Christine score was really good.
I know. That's Christine score is incredible.
He stopped John stopped the movie halfway through because he's like, is this a Christine score?
And then we were 2 minutes into the movie.
We listened to it and it's pretty close.
They changed one note.
Christine score is pretty groovy though.
And it's basically the same score in this movie, which is fine.
Less groovy, but similar.
Yeah. So.
So. Oh boy.
What's the best way to watch this movie, Kim?
How we did at midnight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And thinking it was a vampire movie.
You basically have to get tricked into watching this movie.
Why did
Kim's
recommend. Wait, why did Loomis keep showing up in a limo?
Because he's got church money.
I thought it was a vampire car.
So what's your rating? Like, how do you feel about this movie?
Oh,
should
man.
People check it out? And is it more than a 2 out of 4? Because there were honestly, there were parts of this that I thought were great.
It's hard to say because, yeah, the guy in the parking lot, that all looked really cool. I do love the idea of this, like, science-y Prince of Darkness spawning the Son of Satan thing. Mm-hmm. And doing it and not being just this, like, Immaculate Conception, we have to watch some poor girl get impregnated by nothing.
But we kind of did.
And, like, have a really uncomfortable baby.
Yeah.
Instead, she just absorbed that. And she seemed to be really, like, in her element.
Okay.
She seemed to be enjoying it. So, I don't know. It had some really fun stuff about it. But, like, I just found that we followed characters, like, walking through hallways and having every single conversation. So much so that I didn't understand that what was going on and what was important and what wasn't.
Not at all.
It overwhelmed me.
Yeah. But, man, like, the mirror sequence stuff, like, when we just see what the inside of the mirror world looks like, it's just glimpses, but it looked fucking incredible.
What do you mean? It was just black.
Yeah, it looked awesome, though.
Okay.
What do you want from me?
I don't know.
just because it was, like, some fingers and some blackness doesn't mean it doesn't look good. It looked awesome.
Yes. Cool.
I gasped. And also the videotapes in the future, like that stuff was all great. I'm sure at the time in 1987, this would have been crazy and revolutionary and we would have never understood any. Like, everybody's like, well, tachyons, what the fuck is that? Like, people are just learning who Stephen Hawking is at this point practically.
Yeah, but
right?
Like, when did the original Flatliners come out? Like, Flatliners made something that was implausible seem plausible and explained pseudoscience in a way that you could hop aboard the ship and ride through the movie.
I mean, if it wasn't, it had to be mid-80s, right? Because it's part of, like, that Brat Pack era, probably like 84. 1990!
Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Way to go, Prince of Darkness.
That explains all the shoulder pads.
Okay, well, I think I'm going to give Prince of Darkness a 2 out of 4.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a 2 out of 4 is a little high, but I don't want to be mean about it.
Well, it's just because there are parts of this that I thought were great.
Yeah, stuff. There were parts.
And when we say this shit out loud, we're just like, oh, Satan is a goo and he infects people and somebody gets killed with a bicycle. We've got video transmissions from the future. Like, Alice Cooper's there. Like, I say all these things out loud and I'm just like, God damn.
Like, wow, what is this badass movie?
Is this my favorite movie?
Like, but it also felt like it was 8 hours long.
It was a lot. It was a lot. Yeah, 2 out of 4. That's where I'm sitting.
Yeah, sure.
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 That's Kim's rating, guys. Sure,
it's
out of 4.
1 a.m., John.
Anyway, that's...
And it's a fucking Monday.
Those are our thoughts. Perfect way to start the week. It's a real tone setter. And, you know, we'd love to hear what you thought of Prince of Darkness. If you're one of those people out there that is an evangelical fan of this movie.
And who understood it.
Yeah, if you understood it. If you've seen this movie a couple times. If you've got it on 4K now.
You can crack the code. The Da Vinci code.
Please, God, let us know. Over in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/Discord. There's links for it in the episode description. There's also a link to fill out the Google form to let us know your prediction for what this season's secret theme is. And you can win yourself a cool little prize pack if you're the first person to figure it out.
Well, that's it from us this week. Until next time, at hopefully a more reasonable hour, I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
I really did think it was a vampire movie. Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Nomicon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushie.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita or 6.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink. You can. You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.